We're excited to be back with you guys this morning. It feels like every time we're here, we're with extended family, and it's always exciting for me and Nathan. But we're sad that Pastor Tom isn't here this time, and Emily and Jenny, we love them dearly. But this morning, I want to talk about what it means to live with trust in our life. How many of us do you find trust easy? Is it easy for you to trust people? I don't know about you, but for me, trust is a super difficult thing. Growing up, many of you guys know my story, and my dad left when I was little, and I didn't necessarily grow up in an environment where I felt like trust was easy. I learned from a little age that trust was something that needed to be earned, that it was something that most people weren't deserving of. And see, the problem when we grow up in certain kind of environments and we lack trust is that then we begin to translate that and we put that onto God. And so whether we realize it or not, whether we grew up in safe environments, but maybe our parents, you know, the relationship at different times, if we did good, then they showed us love. If we didn't do good, then they withheld love from us. Well, what that teaches us is that we are only as good as our actions. And then we approach God with the same heart. And we feel like we have to earn his love. And the problem with having to earn God's love is that trust can never be found if we're constantly trying to earn it. And so this morning, as we dive into what it means to live with trust, I want us to evaluate our lives. And when I say that, I don't want you to think with your logical mind, because especially those of us that have lived in church world, it's very easy for us to say all the right things, to know all the right things, but I want you guys to evaluate your actual life. Like if tomorrow, if you lost your job, what would your response be? If tomorrow your marriage failed, what would your response be? Well, that response reveals to you the level of trust that you actually have in God. Because if in that moment you would begin to question, if in that moment fear would begin to take grip of your heart, then that means there's some areas that you still lack trust. And so as we approach this, I want us to really take a hard look at our hearts and at our lives and where we're actually trusting. The definition of trust is a firm belief in the ability, truth, and strength of someone or something. And so when we're talking about trust, we're talking about having a firm belief in God's ability. We're talking about having a firm belief in God's faithfulness. And as we explore what it means to trust, I believe we're ultimately discussing what it means to live with a deep dependency on the Lord. Because I truly believe that we cannot have trust in the Lord without dependency on the Lord. Because trust requires a level of connection. If I were to ask you who's the person that you trust most in your entire life, there's probably a lot of history there, right? There's been a lot of time. They've shown up for you time and time again, and it's taught you that they're faithful. It's taught you that they're worth trusting. You have a level of dependency on them to know that they're going to show up for you no matter what. And it's the same thing with the Lord. And so I want us to turn to Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And in this picture, I feel like what Jesus is doing is he's giving us a picture of what it means to walk and trust with the Lord. And so here in a few minutes, I'm going to give us different points on how I feel like we can live out trust. But before I do that, I want us to get this picture of what it means to walk with Jesus and this picture that Jesus is painting in Matthew 11. And so what the yokes were is they were these wooden frames. And what they would do is they would place them over the cattle. And they would put an older cattle with a younger cattle. And they would go around the cattle's neck, and they would place them together. And then as these cattle tended to the fields, they would walk in alignment with each other. And the older cattle knew the path. They knew the way. And so it would help the younger cattle know the way and the direction that they were supposed to go in. And so what Jesus is saying is that when we come to him, when we walk in alignment with him, when we yoke ourselves to him, the burden is easy, and it's light. Because see, what these yokes actually did is they distributed the weight. It actually made it easier for the cattle to be able to do this because the weight was distributed between them. It wasn't all on one of the cattle to be able to carry this weight. And so the first point that I want to say is, I believe the way that we learn to trust the Lord is by learning to walk in alignment with God. See, I believe that when we learn to live out this Matthew 11 picture, that helps us to step into a level of trust in the Lord. A few years ago when me and Nathan were moving, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but like they say, like, if you want to test your marriage, buy like an IKEA dresser and build it together, and you'll learn how strong your marriage is. And so we went and we moved. Many of you guys know that we moved cities, and so we sold a lot of the stuff in our house. And so Millie had this big bed, and it was like one of those like loft beds that have the desks underneath. And we had to have the adventure of getting it from our second story all the way downstairs. And now this bed was like heavy wood, and our stairs kind of turned. And so it wasn't super easy to get it down the stairs. And I'm kind of the person who's like, let me just like grit with all I can, because I grew up with brothers. I feel like I'm stronger than I actually am. And I'm like, if I just try hard enough, we can get the bed down the stairs. And in all truth, I shouldn't have been the person helping Nathan carry the bed down the stairs, probably. But we started, and we were getting one of the frames down the stairs. And we were trying to get it around, and Nathan was on the bottom part of the bed underneath, and I'm just trying to push the bed down the stairs. And at this point, I'm about to push the bed on top of Nathan, and he's going to topple down the stairs. And Nathan goes, Hannah, stop. Stop. He said, just lean into me. Lean in and let me guide the bed. And in that moment, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, this is what it means to walk in alignment with me. You're always so busy trying to close your eyes and just get through. And if you would just lean into me, if you would just trust me, then you would find that I'm strong enough and I have the ability to help you guide the pathway that you're trying to get through. And so as we're talking about walking in alignment with the Lord, we're talking about trusting in Him. We're talking about recognizing our weakness and our inability. Because see, so often this picture that Jesus is giving us of the yoke, when the cattle would push against the yoke, the very thing that was meant to help them then begins to harm them. It begins to cut their neck and it begins to hurt them. And so often we're walking through life and we're pushing against what Jesus is asking of us, and we're not realizing that the very thing that is meant to be our blessing is becoming our curse. And that's why I think it's important for us to recognize that God never asked us to be strong enough. He simply asked us to come to the one who is. He asked us to come to him and allow his strength to be made strong in our weakness. We need to realize that our weakness becomes our strength when it's placed in God's hands. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, the power to live out the gospel is found in our weakness and not in our strength. And this is countercultural to the society that we live in, because typically, as we get on social media, what are we going to see when we see the pictures? We're going to see everybody's best. We want to present our best. We want to show ourselves as being the one who have it all together, that we have it all figured out in life. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 that's not the way. That's not the way. It is in your weakness that you find power. It is in your weakness that you find strength. And when we can learn to come to the feet of Jesus, when we can learn to surrender our weakness to Jesus, then we can actually find him faithful. But see, so often I feel like we lack trust in the Lord because we're walking through situations, failing to lean on him, and then frustrated when it doesn't turn out the way that we thought that it should. And then we get angry at God, and we get mad at God, and God is saying, I've been here the whole time. I've been ready to help you, but you've not been in alignment with me. You've not been coming to me. You've not been letting me guide you through this situation. You've been trying to do it all on your own. And the danger in that is that if it's all on your own, then the power has to rest in your hands and not God's. And here's the thing we don't often talk about in the body of Christ is the truth is I don't believe that we are strong enough. Have you ever heard someone walk through a difficult situation and they're like, I'm just not strong enough. I'm not capable enough. I can't handle this. The truth is apart from Jesus, you're probably not. But in him, in his presence, and walking in unity, in alignment with him, is where you find the strength to live it out. There's a quote that says, the more professional we long to be, the more spiritual death we will leave in our wake. There is no professional childlikeness. We must realize that we are all meant to come to God as little children, completely aware of our neediness in him. We know that Jesus says that we're meant to walk in childlikeness, and I think it's important for us to understand that there is no professional Christian. There is no professional have it all together. Let's come to church on Sunday morning and let's put on our Sunday best and let's put on our face and let's pretend like we have it all figured out. No, it's learning to be like Paul and saying, I boast in my weakness. I boast in my inability, because then when you see me walk through the fire and you see me go through it and come out the other side, you realize that it is Christ and Christ alone that got me through it. It's why when you hear me share my testimony, I will say every single time, apart from Jesus, I would still be an addict on the street. Why? Because it's only through him. And when you recognize and you walk in alignment and you walk in dependency, you realize just how much he meets your need in every single moment. That when I woke up this morning, that the very breath in my lungs is because of him. That we could not breathe apart from him. Have you guys thought about that? I want us all to take a deep breath. To realize that very breath is sustained by God. If he is sustaining our very breath, then why would he not sustain us through everything else? And so the second way that I believe that we learn to trust is by becoming empty of ourselves. I believe that many of us are frustrated in our walk with God, and we fail to carry trust because we are trying to walk out of alignment with him. We are making decisions the way that we want to and then getting mad at God when the outcome is not good. Yet he never led us there. He never led us there. Romans 6:22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. That word slave is so simple in the original language. It simply means to belong to another. I think it's important for us to recognize that when we are out of alignment with God, we are in alignment with something else. We are all slaves to something, and whether we are slaves to Christ or slaves to sin, we are aligning our lives to something. And I think so often in our lives, we're going through things, making decisions, we're getting into relationships, we're getting into jobs, and then we're getting frustrated when they don't turn out the way that we want them to. And God is saying, I never even gave you permission to do it in the first place. And then we're sitting here accusing God for an outcome that he never asked us to walk through. Because God is never going to cause us to walk through something that he's not going to sustain us for. As believers, we must see that our lives are not our own. Our wants and desires must be conformed to those of Christ. To live as Christ in the garden and learn to say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Jesus prayed this prayer before he went to the cross. He said, God, Father, if there could be any other way, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And I think if we're honest, we're yoked to our will and not to Christ. So many times. I'm being honest with you guys. There are still days where I go and I do things and I get so far ahead of God. And then I'm like, God, why is this situation happening? And he's like, it's because you left me back there. Why am I walking through this situation? Why am I having difficulty? And he's like, it's because you stopped walking with me and started walking in your own will. I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we fail to realize that the moment we sign up to this Christian walk, we sign our way, our rights, our wills, our wants, and our desires, and we sign up to that of Christ. We sign up to say, it is not my life. I may want this and I may want that, but if Jesus, you don't want that for me, then I don't want it. Jesus, you don't want that relationship for me, then I don't want it. Jesus, you don't want that job for me, then I don't want it. Because I know that anything apart from you will lead to destruction every single time. You know, when I first got saved, I had this desire. I was in rehab and I'd heard about Master's Commission and I was dead set that I was gonna go be a missionary in Africa and I was just gonna live in a little hut and be remote and not communicate with anybody back in America and I was just gonna win people to Jesus. That was what I was dead set on. And that sounds like a good dream, right? That sounds like it would be fruitful, like that would be amazing to give up your life and to go to another country and to serve people to win for Jesus, but it wasn't God's will. And I think sometimes even the good things, if it's not God's will, we don't want it. Because even the good things can lead to destruction. It says in scripture that Jesus said that he only did what he saw his father doing. He only did what he saw his father doing. So I want you to think about this. Jesus, who was, yes, fully man, he was also fully God. He stripped off his deity and he came here and he lived as man. If Jesus lived in a state of dependency on the Father, what makes us think that we should do any different? If Jesus only did that which he saw his father doing, sometimes I don't think we fully realize all that Jesus could have done. Like, have you guys thought about that before? All that Jesus actually could have done on the earth? But he only did what he saw his father doing. Why? Because he knew the ultimate purpose that it led to. That even if he didn't understand why the father was asking it out of him, that it was good, right? Because the ultimate purpose was redemption. But what about if Jesus said, well, I can just save them. I can just save them. I don't need to die. I can just do the shortcut way. And I think so often we take a shortcut. We want to take the easy way. And I know that sometimes this is a hard thing to hear, but the truth of the matter is that I think that God is returning for a bride that is pure and holy. He is looking to find faith on the earth. The Bible says that when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And I'm telling you guys that yes, I refuse to look at my generation and see them continue to walk away from Christ and it be okay to continue for us to come into church every single day filled with anxiety, filled with fear, filled with depression, and act like Jesus didn't pay for more for us. When he came to the cross, he came to set us free. The Bible says that he came to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? Our identity. That is what Eve gave up, was our identity, our realization that we are made in God's image. And I think so often we're failing to live out the life that Jesus paid for because we don't even realize what's ours. Because we're so busy filling ourselves with all of these other things and yoking ourselves to all of these other things that we can't even realize what God actually has for us. I want you to imagine this yoke for a moment. That when you're putting yourself in a relationship that God hasn't asked you to be in, you're yoking yourself to that. When you're becoming friends with those people that God hasn't asked you to be friends with, you're yoking yourself to that. And then what happens? We're pulling and we're pulling away from God. And the cut's getting deeper and deeper. And we don't realize that somewhere along the way we forgot that the very breath in our lungs is because of God. The very life that we live is because he gives it. And so how dare we think that we can live a single moment apart from him and it produce anything other than destruction? Because our very salvation is because of the grace of God. Our very salvation has nothing to do with us and everything to do with Jesus. The Bible says that our righteousness, mine and your righteousness, is as filthy rags. Our very ability, what does righteousness mean? It means to stand in right standing with the Father. Our very ability to stand in right standing with the Father is only through Jesus. So how could we ever think that we could live a moment apart from him, outside of dependency with him? And the third way that I believe that we learn to trust the Lord is by regularly taking time to be with him. Discipline is one of those words that no one wants to hear in the body of Christ. We love to hear the word grace, right? We love to hear about how Jesus loves us so much and he died for our sins. And we often want to run when it comes time to talk about discipline. But I believe to truly live in relationship with the Lord, we must have strong disciplines. We are so busy, we claim we have no time for him, yet we wonder why we are blown by every storm and wind that comes. Did you know that scripture mentions Jesus retreating to be alone with the Father over 9 times? In the 4 Gospels, it mentions over 9 times that he goes to be alone with his Father. And as also, there's another scripture where it talks about where it says that Jesus often retreated to be with the Father. I believe that the way that we actually walk in trust and we sustain our walk with Christ is through intimacy with Jesus. It's through falling in love with him. It's through recognizing that he is a person. That like when we're talking about Jesus, we're not talking about this God that sits up in heaven who's far off. We're talking about Emmanuel, God with us, God inside us. God who walks with us, who never leaves us, never forsakes us. And when we can get in his presence and when we can get around him, then we can become like him. Then we can begin to depend on him in those situations and we can begin to yoke ourselves to him. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that perfection flows from that place, but it means that we learn each day to take a step closer to him, to walk a little bit more in alignment with him. And as we walk a little bit more in alignment with him and we're faced with decisions and we're faced with the fire and we're faced with the trials and we come through and we're okay, then a confidence comes inside of us that says, oh, you are faithful. Like I can stand up here and I can say that he's faithful, not because the Bible tells me he's faithful, but because my life has taught me he's faithful. And now the next time that I'm faced with a trial and I'm faced with a circumstance that if God doesn't come through for me, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I can look back to history and I can say you were faithful then and now you'll be faithful now. But if I'm constantly running from the fire, if I'm constantly trying to figure it out on my own and escape from my circumstances, then I have no opportunity to build a history with God. And my history teaches me that it's my dependency that'll get me through, that it's my strength that'll get me through, and that my life will be filled with chaos and I'll be pointing fingers at God, not realizing that he's standing and saying, if you just lean on me, I'd help you figure it all out. We must live in the reality that God is alive and present in every moment and treat him as such. You know, I couldn't imagine, I've been married, me and Nathan have been married for 11 years. I can't imagine thinking that we would have a healthy marriage if we talked once a week. You know, could you imagine? We have 1 conversation a week and I think that that's gonna sustain me. I can't imagine if our only time together was when we sang songs in our living room for 2 hours, and to think that that would sustain and bring a level of intimacy that would carry us for years. I can't imagine that if every single time we had a fight or disagreement, we ran from each other, and that I would think that that would build a trust in us that would teach us that we can get through the hard times. So why do we think that we can do that with God? Why do we think that it's enough for us to spend 2 hours a week singing songs together and living off of somebody else's revelation that'll carry us? Because you know that's what it is, right? When we come into this space, you guys are getting to take from Pastor Tom's revelation, his history with God, his time with God. And that'll sustain us for a little bit. But it's like eating a cracker. I don't know about you, but if I ate 1 cracker a day, I wouldn't be a very nice person. If I only ate 1 meal a week, Nathan would probably be like, call my mom and say, you gotta do something because she's going crazy. Yet we do this on a consistent basis with God. And then we fill ourselves with all these other things. We get off work and we come home and we turn on the TV and we begin to shut out all the noise from the day, and we're filling ourselves with these things. And then we wonder why our life doesn't bear any fruit. Why there's no peace, why there's no patience, why there's no gentleness, why there's no self-control, why there's no love in our home. And it's because we're depending on all of these things other than God. C.S. Lewis said, "The more of Jesus we perceive, the easier it is to put him on. We can imitate him with that childlike simplicity that keeps pretending until the pretending becomes true." And what I love about this is that it's so true. The more that we perceive of Jesus, the more it is to live him, to live and display his character in our life. But we cannot perceive him if we don't know him. And we can't know him if we're not in our scripture every single day. If you woke up every day and you go, and for me, literally every single morning, I beeline for the coffee pot without fail. You'll watch my dog. Nathan doesn't like our dog to sleep in our bedroom, so he sleeps on the couch. And literally, our dog waits every single morning for me to go to the Nespresso machine and pour my double shots of espresso, and then he begins following me around the house. Right? I wouldn't go a single morning without going to my Nespresso machine. And it is the same way with the Word of God. We cannot think that it is enough for us to wake up every single morning and not come with to him. Because guys, there's something that happens when we get in his presence that we begin to realize who we are and who he is. We begin to realize that he is good and that he is kind and that he loves us and that he is faithful. But we can't understand that and actually live it out as a true revelation in our lives, that when we're faced with the trials, when we're faced with the struggles, that our response is to say, no, I know who my God is, and my God is faithful, unless we know him. And see, here's the scary things, guys. And I know that this is kind of heavy, and I don't want you guys to hear it as a negative thing. I want you guys to hear it as an invitation of what's possible when we walk with him. Is that there's a scripture where Jesus, where it says that many will come to him and they'll cast out demons and they'll do amazing things for him. And he'll say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." That word "know," I never knew you, that word "knew" is an experiential when you take it back into the original language. He's talking about intimacy. He's talking about a deep knowing. That I know you more than I know anybody else, that I'm aware of you more than I'm aware of the very breath in my lungs, of the very world around me, that I know him, that he is my best friend. You know, I remember a leader in my life said, "How would Jesus feel if he walked in your door of your house?" And I remember in that moment stopping and thinking, well, I would hope that it would be so normal to him that he would walk in as my best friend. Because when we know him, and here's the scary part about that scripture, guys. I want you to think about it. They cast out demons. Like, they did great things in Jesus' name. In this moment when Jesus is saying this, like, this is the next main stage speaker at the next Christian conference. Right? Like, they're moving in healing. They're moving in power. They're given the best words. And Jesus' response to them is, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because you can step in spaces like this. You can come to church like this. You can turn on your worship music and you can do all the things and you can never know him. And so this morning, I want to invite you guys to step into a place of love with the Lord again. Trust at its core is love. And God is love. And so trust is not obtained apart from God. Love is not obtained apart from God. And so to think that we can learn to trust him, we have to understand that we have to step into relationship with him. And the kind of relationship that goes deeper than a Sunday morning, the type of relationship that wakes us up in the middle of the night that says, "I just have to know you." Because anything apart from knowing you won't satisfy me. Because see, sometimes I think that we fail to realize that what we're ultimately trying to do is to satisfy that part of our heart that hurts. That when we're alone and no one's around and those thoughts come and they say that we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough, that we're not capable enough, that's what Jesus wants to touch. Because it's those thoughts that keep us apart from him. It's those thoughts that keep us running to all of the things other than him. And so this morning, I want to ask us all just to close our eyes. And I'm going to invite you guys to be vulnerable for a moment. A leader in my life says that that transparency leads to transformation. And so I'm going to invite you guys into a moment of transparency. Because I believe that true transparency, when we get real before the Lord, when we get like Adam and Eve in the garden, with not hiding our shame, not hiding our fear, not hiding the uncomfortability, not hiding all of the things, and we can get before Jesus and be honest about what we're walking through, then it gives him permission to come into our lives because he is a gentle God. And he won't come in if you don't invite him. But I believe that today that there are many of you in this place, and if you're honest, there are things that you've been struggling to trust the Lord in. There have been things that you've been questioning his faithfulness, that you've been questioning his character, that you've been questioning if he's going to show up for you. And I want you to know this morning that he will, but I want you to get honest so that he can speak that to you. Because I can tell you all day long that he's faithful, but if he doesn't say it, it'll never carry you through. And so I want us, in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you guys, and I'm going to let Nathan play. And I want you to evaluate what is standing in the way of you trusting God. And I just want us to take like a minute to really process our life. Because maybe, you know, guys, for me, like there were real hurts in my childhood that stood in the way of my ability to trust God. There were real disappointments and there were real pains. There was real heartache. But what I found is that every single time that I've experienced that, he is faithful when I surrender it to him. I'm going to ask you guys to do something, and it might feel a little bit uncomfortable, and there might be some fear in it, but I want you guys, I think that there's something powerful that happens when we combine action to what we're asking out of the Lord. There's something that happens in that moment that it becomes a physical representation of what the Lord is doing in the spirit. And so I want you guys just to picture holding that thing that you've been withholding from God in your hand, and I want you guys to make a fist. And so if there's anybody in this room that you would say, yeah, I haven't been trusting the Lord. Yeah, Hannah, there are things that I've been struggling to give him. There are things that I've been struggling to trust him with. And then I'm asking you to do something that might feel a little bit scary, but I want to pray over you. I want to ask you guys to stand up. If you have that fist in your hand, if you guys would just stand up. I just want you to hold that fist high. Jesus, I thank you that you are good and that you are kind and that you are faithful. That even when we are faithless, that you are faithful. And so, Father, I just ask right now in this moment that every hand raised, God, that that thing that they are holding in their hand, God, that that area where they have been struggling to trust, that they would release that today, God. That they would lay it at your feet and that they would recognize that you are faithful. God, I ask that you would come into the moments when the pain entered in and that you would allow them to see where you were at. That God, when they felt like they were left alone, God, when they felt like they had been abandoned, when they had felt like you weren't there for them, when they walked through that situation, I ask that you would come in and that you would show them where you had been the whole time. That you had never left them, that you had never forsake them, that you were carrying them through and that you will carry them now. And I just want you guys just to open up your fist and just to release that. Jesus, I thank you that we're releasing it today. That we're releasing it into your hands because you are faithful, because you are kind, and because you are worthy, and because you are holy, and because you are capable. And Jesus, we love you. I ask that as they leave here today, Father, that they would leave into peace, God, that they would leave into trust, that they would leave with a deep knowing that you are God and that you will not leave them. And that if you are God and that you are not thrown off of your throne in this moment, that you will faithfully carry them through. And I thank you, Jesus, for your nearness. And I ask that they would be so aware of how close you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.